Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, you health renaissance people. Today, coronavirus, February 11th, 2020. We have to look at virus mania, which is a social disease of our highly developed society. To cure it will require conquering fear, fear being the most deadly contagious virus, most efficiently transmitted by the media. Yes. So let's take a look back. Okay. Now, if anyone has a memory of about 11 years ago, let's look back at the influenza H1N1 pandemic. Now, this is an article out of the Journal of Epidemiology and Community Health. Let's read this. Now, this is 11 years old, and they had a problem with the entire world, the World Health Organization, creating this pandemic that never really happened. Of course, when we look at the data back, they've actually doctored the data to where it looks like it really was an occurrence. But if people remember way back when, to 2009, there were countries that were almost ready to sue the World Health Organization over this. But let's read this. Quote, in this issue, Alam, which was the writer of the article, raises concern about the perceived overreaction to the emergence of the novel influenza H1N1 strain, stating that the response of the World Health Organization and mass media conclusions overestimated and exaggerated the problem and provoked unnecessary alarm among the general population rather than transmitting calm and a sense of safety. The rapid escalation of the pandemic phase and communications by the World Health Organization gave the impression of the escalation of virulence of the virus rather than simply reflecting an increase in the extent of spread. On the present evidence, the overwhelming majority of patients experienced mild symptoms and make a rapid full recovery in the absence of any form of medical treatment. We do not expect to see a sudden and dramatic jump in the number of severe or fatal infections. End of quote. Now, that was an article in 2009 about the 2009 panic. And Dr. Tim O'Shea, which is a speaker on our cruises, I mean, brilliant doc, he wrote one of his monthly articles on this current panic. I'd encourage you to go to the doctorwithin.com site, and he goes back and calls it a boutique epidemic. Now, just think of this. Again, we're trying to put this in perspective. This isn't anything massive and new. We had the swine flu in 2002. We had the SARS, or sudden acute respiratory syndrome, in 2003. Avian flu in 2006. MERS, or the Mideast respiratory syndrome, in 2012. Ebola in 2014. Disney measles campaign, 2015. Zika virus in 2016. 2018 had this fake flu epidemic that was nuts. And then we have the measles outbreak in 2019. Now, Dr. O'Shea goes in. I mean, the coronavirus, it's a family of over 500 different strains. Now, each one of these false epidemics followed the exact same blueprint. Now, let's look at what the blueprint is. First, they claim a disease threat from a brand new bug, some brand new exotic species. And they install a worldwide panic with unrelenting media. Do we have that now? Absolutely. They offer a medical solution, usually a vaccination. Then the money is allocated, and then the threat disappears. And we see it over and over again. Now, just realize that coronaviruses, the type of virus, is about 23% of all flu-like symptoms, according to the New England Journal of Medicine and the British Medical Journal. Now, we've been monitoring from Johns Hopkins University, and I have the link on it, and going back to February 2nd. Now, I'm going to read the numbers, and it's hard to just listen to a program and hear the numbers, but back on February 2nd, this was last Sunday, They had 14,000 confirmed cases. Now, you might say 14,000 people confirmed. Did all of these have a good a serologic study? Were they really actually confirmed? We're going to get into that a bit, but let's just assume that these cases were actually had accurate virology testing. Now, 14,637 cases back then confirmed, 305 deaths, and the total recovered was 443. That means total recovery, and that's about a 98% survival rate. Now, by the third, it was 20,000 cases, 426 deaths, and 637 recovered. By the fourth, it was 24,000 cases, 492 deaths, and 891 recovered. And by this past Monday, yesterday, 40,000 confirmed cases, 900 deaths, but now the total recovered is exponential. It's 3,578 people fully recovered that will never have this illness ever again. And so we can see that the number of recovered is coming exponentially. That's why the Lancet, and this was an article just a few weeks ago, they talk about how this will peak, okay, in about April. Why? Because the more people that get it, the more people recover from, the more people survive. And so we have a herd immunity. So it will peak and drop off. So how does this put back into the other major viruses? Now, these are sources from the CDC, World Health Organization, New England Medical Journal, and they go over Ebola and Nipah, SARS, MERS, and the novel coronavirus. And this is going way back to 1976. And so I'm going to have a chart there that details it out. Well, the novel coronavirus has a fatality rate of around 2%, which is similar to the common cold and flu. So people with a weakened immune system are getting the most affected. Now, if we look back in the history, why would Wuhan be one of the epicenters of this? Well, you could say they have an open-air market that they sell live animals as well as dead animals at. But then again, that's most Chinese cities will have that. And a lot of cities around the world have it. But back in July, they had a number of protests on air pollution. And Wuhan was one of the epicenters of that. And now they were holding banners back in July of last year. We don't want to be poisoned. We just need a breath of fresh air. And in fact, the protesters in Wuhan were unwilling to believe the officials when they say that the plants that they were building there were meeting modern safety and emission standards. They said, well, people may be willing to put political concerns aside for the sake of economic growth. They're not prepared to take risk with their children's health for the gross domestic product. And that's out of the article from CNN by James Griffiths. Now, again, we know that the air pollution there is ridiculous. And we know that this has about the same infective rating, and Sequali has the common cold. But what is with the hype? Well, let's look at this. And now this is written by Electronics, February 4th, 2020. And the title of the article is Wuhan Coronavirus Treatments. And we have vaccines, Johnson & Johnson, Regeneron, Gilead. And a lot of different companies are getting on the bandwagon now. And that's what's exciting. Because since we have this massive panic, it's a good idea to create business with it. And here's Anthony Fauci. Now, Dr. Anthony Fauci, you might remember him. He works for the CDC. He lied before Congress last February 2019. Now, he was at a congressional Senate hearing, and Representative Brett Guthrie from New York asked, I want to look at some concerns. I've heard some parents claim that measles vaccine can cause brain inflammation known as encephalitis. Is that true? Is that true? They asked Dr. Fauci, and then Dr. Fauci stumbled around, quote, brain inflammation, encephalitis. Guthrie persisted, can measles vaccine cause encephalitis, the vaccine? Dr. Fauci, without blinking, turned and answered, the vaccine? No. The audience broke out in disbelief, and then Fauci knew he was busted, and he murmured, rare. So here's the guy, director of National Institute of Health Infectious Disease Center, said he hopes they can start testing the vaccine on human candidates within the next 3 months. And while drug development is typically a multi-year process that faces significant hurdles, the U.S. officials have been pushing for speedy testing timelines. That's right. Because we have this popularized in the media now, they're now removing some of the safety testing so that companies can jump on the bandwagon and produce appropriate products. Yeah, wipe out the safety treatments. Johnson & Johnson is testing 5 ideas for a vaccine. And, quote, we are comfortable that we can create a vaccine and scale it up. In the past, it's used platforms to develop an investigational Ebola vaccine that's now been given to thousands of people in Africa, as well as a vaccine candidate for HIV, in addition to which the company donated 350 boxes of its Prescobix, its HIV therapy, to a group of Chinese hospitals. And Johnson & Johnson stated this stemmed from anecdotal accounts of a certain type of antiviral that has worked against similar coronaviruses in the past. So think of this. These guys are jumping on the bandwagon, and I mean bandwagon, to get products that they want to sell in line with the hospitals so they can actually get their product out there. So they're going to use HIV therapies through anecdotal accounts to give to patients. I know, I'm thinking the same thing. What could possibly go wrong? Gilead Sciences wants to repurpose existing virus-fighting drugs. Of course they do. Why? Because it gives another market. And this is written literally on electronics.com. And then they go on to state, well, over the weekend, Gilead started randomized trial testing of the drug remdesivir against a placebo in 270 patients with mild to moderate pneumonia. The New England Journal of Medicine has stirred excitement about the potential of it. The biotech analyst Jeffrey Porges cautioned against reading too much into one patient because they had one patient that they were reading. Quote, it's complicated to ascribe efficacy to a single drug from one anecdotal report, especially when given the complex disease course. Potential for resolution on its own and multi other therapies are on board. Then we have Regeneron, which is pursuing two routes to find a coronavirus treatment. The treatment in developing treatment showed some success in countering Ebola. This is how Regeneron approached Ebola. It took 6 months to develop a new treatment to validate its effectiveness in animals and another 6 months to be ready for humans. Let's look at this a little bit different. So with all of this hoopla, companies are being accorded or they're looking for their opportunity to produce this. GlaxoSmithKline is offering up tech advice to help others who are working on vaccines. Now, the British drug maker isn't interested in developing its own vaccine, but it will give their adjuvant, the Pandemic Vaccine Adjuvant platform, to people that want to build a vaccine. The adjuvants are things, materials you put in to the vaccine so it has a greater effect on the body. And luckily, with the safety features being removed, it can be tested on humans almost immediately. And Moderna, okay, there's another biotech buzz, will be testing its new technology against the public health threat. They want to develop a vaccine too. So there's a number of companies that are excited about developing a new vaccine or therapy. And without safety features, it just is mind-blowing that this would be going on. So let's just take, I want to say take a chill pill, but really, what does the European Center for Disease Prevention and Control say? How can I avoid getting infected? Well, let's assume that when you're visiting areas that have this unique virus, okay, you avoid contact with sick people, in particular those with a cough, avoid visiting markets where places where live and dead animals are handled, follow general rules of hand hygiene and food hygiene, wash your hands with soap and water, avoid contact with animal their excretions or droppings whenever you travel, apply general rules to governing hand and food. So they're talking just common sense. If you're exposed to stuff, wash your hands. I mean, washing your hands is a good idea. Now, the dangerous stuff, the U.S. has fast-tracked a coronavirus test to speed up the diagnosis. The FDA has given an emergency authorization to a new test that promises to help public health. Now, again, on Tuesday, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued authorization of diagnostic tests for the novel corona. Now, this exemption, now they're removing the standard testing procedures. This exemption will make the test, which was developed by the U.S. Center for Disease Control, has now been performed only in its laboratories available to public health labs across the country. This move skirts the normal approval channels, signaling the need for speed and regulatory agency joins the efforts to contain the disease spread. So now how accurate are the tests and how appropriate are the interventions? We know that, and here's an article out of the New York Times. It talks about a person with weak with a fever, An Jua, waited in line for 7 hours, and this is right out of the New York Times, hoping to get tested for the new coronavirus, which doctors suspected she had. Now, she was very weak, the outbreak. She finally got an IV drip for her fever, but that was it. Now, Anne's health was declining rapidly. It was a struggle for her even to get water down. So now, why was it a struggle for her to get water down? Do you think that she had a sore throat? Do you think that she, because this is really a respiratory virus. So did she have inflammation of the bronchus? Did she have inflammation of the esophagus? And what was in the IV drip? Was it just to get fluids in her system? There's a lot of unanswered questions when people are looking at how to approach what type of interventions are appropriate. Like knowing that it's a virus, do you give prophylactic antibiotics to prevent a bacterial pneumonia? Knowing that the antibiotics wipe out the normal gut flora, is that an appropriate procedure? Or is there something better to do? So doctors are looking excitedly at new therapies to get in there, except sometimes it's best to allow the body to go through a natural process of healing. Now, if you've seen any of the pictures of Wuhan or around the area, you've got this fogging going on where it's out of the back of trucks and people, and they're trying to disinfect an entire town. How do you do that? Well, there was an article, and this was on just last week. It had it translated from Chinese, and the title of the article is "Following Wuhan, Yichan started citywide disinfection on the evening of the 4th. Now, full-scale disinfection of the air environment, surface objects, indoor toilets, more than 240 medical institutions, 30 centralized isolation sites, and 260 market fairs in the city every day. Now, they're cleaning up this or spraying this area around garbage cans, transfer stations, sanitation facilities. I mean, they are really spraying this disinfectant everywhere. And they gave some advice for residents. The residents are requested to close the doors and windows in advance during the spraying. Primary and secondary artery roads, back streets, alleys, and other public areas, storefronts are strictly forbidden to store items. Do not dry clothes or place them on open air balconies. And it's forbidden to touch outer surfaces of the building, like flowers and trees, with hands. Once touched, you must rinse immediately. So there is a huge amount of disinfectant that's going on. And again, so far, the stats make it look like it's about as infectious and deadly as the common cold. So, you know, you're talking 98 to 99% of the people recover. February 3rd last week, the U.S. barred foreign citizens who have traveled to China in the past 14 days and quarantining some Americans returning. They have a presidential proclamation in place that suspends entry of foreign nationals who have visited China in the past 14 days into the United States. And so, again, let's just take a chill pill. Let's look at Pasteur and Beauchamp. This is a novel virus. That means that they haven't identified it before. It's in a family of viruses that have over 500 different subsets and species. It's in the same category as 25% of all common colds. And it also has SARS and MERS in that category of viral types. Pasteur. Is it the germ that's causing this or the weakened immune system? Beauchamp, you treat the patient, not the infection. Now remember, it's winter time in China. So the flu season, the common cold season, the weakening of the immune system, all of these are common in the winter time because of vitamin D deficiency and excess stress. And this is occurring along the holiday lines in China about when people are traveling to different environments. So we know that there's a tremendous amount of stress in that area, and it's wintertime. So the common colds, flus, people with weakened immune systems are going to be going to the hospital even without this novel virus. What is a virus? A virus lacks its ability to replicate on its own. According to Fabio Romero of the Institute of Human Virology, it's not a living organism. It's simply a well-organized molecular parasite. Up to 45% of your genetic information, your DNA, is viral in origin. Some people call the double-stranded helix your DNA a little virus hotel. So viruses are part of our ecosystem. In fact, they are vital for our ecosystem. And knowing, so we have to look between the hype, okay, is there really a novel virus that is going to change the world? Or is it just intelligent and prudent to be concerned, but it's not prudent and ridiculous to panic over? Well, so far the facts are panicking is unwarranted. It's about as infective as the common cold, okay? And if you have a strong immune system, you're going to be fine, just like the standard common cold. If you have a weakened immune system, such as you're taking blood pressure or cholesterol drugs, or you're taking steroids to decrease some immune system response, then you are at risk of further complications, just like you would be if you're taking those drugs and in the wintertime in any other country in the world. You would still be at greater risk if you're taking any immune system suppressant drugs. So what can you do? Number one, deal effectively with your physical, chemical, and emotional stressors. Vitamin D3, you're talking between 5,000 and 50,000 international units a day. Vitality C, I like Vitality C with ribose, so it's in powdered form, so you can mix with your water, between 5,000 and 10,000 milligrams per day. If you start to develop diarrhea, you will find out that you're having too much vitamin C. Magnesium, again, 500 milligrams a day of that. Make sure you're getting deep sleep. And in fact, if you notice a cold coming on, when you're sleeping, wrap your body in heavy towels to develop night sweats. So this way, you're sweating out toxins. And for every 1 degree increase in temperature, the speed of your immune system doubles. Look at heat-generating herbs. Look at garlic, onion, ginger, and root vegetables. Make a thick soup out of that. And if you use turmeric and black pepper, this is a powerful antioxidant. Look at hot liquids throughout the day. Herbal teas, antioxidant teas, green tea. Look at mild exercises. And you can even do conscious breathing. If you're just sitting around, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. So you're hyper-oxygenating the system. Use the Wim Hof breathing method, conscious breathing. Look at essential oils, such as Thieves, which is a good brand that's got cinnamon and clove oil in it. Oregano oil is fantastic antimicrobial. And look at colloidal silver through a nebulizer. Deal with your physical, chemical, and emotional stressors. Look at how beautiful fever is. I mean, for every 1 degree increase in temperature, the speed of your immune system doubles. That means 104 temperature, your immune system is 64 times faster than it should be, or than standard. You're going to have increased mucus production. Do not take anything to reduce your immune system response. That's crazy. One of the worst things that you can take is acetaminophen or Tylenol. If you want to reduce your fever, and this is only if you've had diarrhea or vomiting and you can't sweat, if you've lost your ability to sweat, you need to get a room temperature bath, a tepid sponge bath. The key is to look at your immune system response. Acetaminophen or Tylenol is one of the worst things you can take for a flu. Vitamin C, vitamin D3 are some of the best things that you could take for an immune system response. So anything you do now, if it increases your immune system response, that is good. Anything you do now that decreases your immune system response is bad. I know it, we're just talking basic common sense, but it's completely lacking in the media now. So take care of yourself. Know that if you're wearing a mask, it's pretty much going to protect if you're coughing or sneezing your droplets from going on to anyone else. It's not really going to affect things coming in. Exercise, sleep right, deal effectively with your physical, chemical, emotional stress. Do not get caught up in the media frenzy. So far, if something else comes up, we are going to detail it out. But right now, it looks as it's as infectious and deadly as the common cold. Okay, strengthen your immune system and do not panic. This is Dr. John Bergman, your voice of common sense in an insane environment. Look at the facts, and if anything new comes up, we'll do this again. God bless you, and I love you.